Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. TIFF has just announced its upcoming Canadian film program, so I'm going to talk about those movies. And before that, I'm going to talk about two new movies, an action thriller and a psychological drama. There's a rivalry between a respected teacher and a prize pupil that threatens their futures, and a futuristic rival between two secret agents fighting a threat to world destruction. So Canada at TIFF. If you're looking for some brand new homegrown movies, docs and short films, there's lots to see at TIFF this September. Remember, I haven't seen anything yet, but I've been looking around and here are a few that caught my eye. First, the program features lots of Indigenous directors with some great, they made some great movies in the past, so chances are these are going to be great too. Jordan River Anderson, The Messenger, is Alanis Obomsawin's latest movie talking about the struggle of First Nation kids on reserves trying to get the same medical treatment as the rest of Canadians get. This continues the theme from We Can't Make the Same Mistake Twice. Oscar winner Zakaria Kunuk brings us Day in the Life of Noah Piugatuk, a drama set in the 1960s when the Canadian government was forcing nomadic Inuit hunters to assimilate and give up their way of life. And in a totally different type of movie, Jeff Barnaby's Blood Quantum has a Mi'kmaq nation pitted against a zombie-like plague, which only seems to affect white people. Okay, then there's some movies coming where the title alone is enough to attract. Listen to these. The Last Porno Show, This Is Not a Movie, Tammy's Always Dying, and The Birds Rain Down, or Il Pleuvait des Oiseaux, and The Body Remembers When the World Broke Open. Intriguing titles. Now, how about some short movies with very long titles? Like, I Am in the World as Free and Slender as a Deer on a Plane. Uh-huh. Or how about Speak Continuously and Describe Your Experiences as They Come to You? I bet you'll remember those titles. Finally, let's look at some, they'll be looking at some big names from Canadian cinema with their latest work, including Alan Zweig with a documentary on police called Coppers, Adam Egoyan with Guest of Honor starring David Thewlis as a food inspector, Albert Shin's psychological thriller set in Niagara Falls called Clifton Hill, and a new documentary co-directed by Ellen Page about environmental racism in Nova Scotia called There's Something in the Water. Okay, I just flooded you with more names than anyone can ever remember, but maybe some of it will stick to your brain. Tickets are now on sale, including the cheap packages, so check it out quickly while you still can. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw, directed by David Leitch. Hobbs, played by Dwayne Johnson, is a hugely muscled single dad in L.A., formerly with the CIA. Shaw, played by Jason Statham, is a well-dressed, wiry assassin from a family of London criminals, headed by his mother. But when Hattie, played by Vanessa Kirby, an MI6 agent, goes rogue, two men are forced to work together to bring her in. Problem is, Hobbs and Shaw hate each other's guts. They'd rather die than be in the same room together. But there's a bigger issue at stake. Hattie absconded with a terrible man-made virus, which, if activated, could wipe out everyone in the world in a week. And she carries it embedded in her own body. Even worse, they have to beat Brixton, played by Idris Elba, Shaw's former partner, who is now an unkillable cyborg, who works for a criminal organization. So can the two agents overcome their differences, capture Hattie, recover the virus, defeat Brixton, and save the world? Okay. Hobbs and Shaw is a silly comic book-like action movie in the style of Fast and Furious series. And though ridiculous, it's a lot of fun to watch. It doesn't take itself very seriously. Instead, it just provides endless chase scenes. We're talking cars, motorcycles, helicopters here. Extended fist fights. And epic battles with guns, missiles, and spears. But without any visible death or blood. As I said, this movie is ridiculous. It's all about the image. Like there's a chase scene at a Chernobyl nuclear reactor, but the characters are blasting at each other with fire guns. They don't really care if there's going to be a nuclear meltdown. Not important. Their towers are just there for decoration. Story takes you from an amazing vertical chase scene involving ropes and ladders on the side of a glass and steel skyscraper in London and ends up in an eventual battle royale in Samoa. The banter between Johnson and Statham is stupid, almost to the point of boredom, but there is some humor there. And most important, the movie is loaded with really good special effects. Take it for what it is, simple action movie, and you'll probably love it. I gave up on Fast and Furious maybe number 3 or 4. It's up to number 9 or 10 now. Doesn't matter, but if they made another Hobbs and Shaw sequel, I think I might like it. And with Idris Elba and cameo roles by Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds, come on, what more do you want for $14? Loose, directed by Julius Ona. Okay, it's a middle-class suburb in the Midwest. Loose, played by Kelvin Harrison Jr., is the school's golden boy. Star athlete, manager of the track team, head of the debating club. He's handsome, popular, athletic, and very bright. So much so, he's invited to give inspirational Obama-like speeches to the school. His white parents, played by Naomi Watts and Tim Roth, couldn't be happier. They adopted him as a refugee from war-torn Eritrea and molded him into their idea of the perfect all-American son, with a new name, new history, new identity. His friends may have troubles, but not Luce. Everyone, even his ex, Cynthia, played by Andrea Bang, loves Luce. Everyone except his teacher, Ms. Wilson, played by Octavia Spencer. She's suspicious of his motives, and she's disturbed enough by an essay he wrote about Marxist anti-colonialist writer Frantz Fanon to search his locker, where she finds a bag of firecrackers. Uh-oh. She calls his mother in for a talk, leaving Luce out of the equation for now, but it plants a seed of doubt in his parents' minds. Luce isn't stupid. He knows something bad's going on, and so begins a game of cat and mouse between pupil and teacher. Is he a normal, nice guy or a psychopath? And is Ms. Wilson honestly concerned about him, or is she just jealous and wants to bring him down? So Luce is a very complex, multifaceted, and ultimately ambiguous drama about identity, history, and blackness. Fanon's works is Black Skin, White Masks. Think about that. It's also about parents digging too deeply into their kids' private lives without realizing they're going to expose things they don't want to know. It also brings in other issues, mental health, sexual consent, drug use. Tim Roth and Naomi Watts are appropriately annoying as the well-meaning but namby-pamby parents. Octavia Spencer, come on, she just keeps getting better and better. I think I'll see anything she's in. And then there's Kelvin Johnson Jr. Okay, he doesn't look even vaguely Eritrean, but let's not worry about that. He's great as Luce. He was the son in another recent movie, It Comes at Night. And when you think of the two of them together, this adds up to, wow, a really interesting role as Luce. I can't wait to see what he does next. Luce, though not perfect, is a very well-done indie movie and leaves you with a lot to think about. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw opens today in Toronto. Check your local listings. Luce opens next Friday, not today. And for more information on TIFF or to buy tickets, go to tiff.net. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.